everybody. Welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast. I'm Ken Smith. Today, we're talking public safety with our interim chief, James Moore. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me today. I'm happy to get the chance to speak about the public safety department and what's been going on.
You are interim chief right now. How long do we expect that to go on for?
They don't have a current deadline for how long that will be an interim position. I do know that they did update some of the job description. So since it's a director position, that's something that has to get approved through council and things like that. And the idea behind updating the job description is the original job description that was put in place, it was written in a manner that we hadn't established a police department yet. So it's more current information with the expectations with an established police department.
This is the first time the tribes has had a police office or officers?
Yeah. When I was hired on last year, I was the first tribal police officer for the newly established department. So the tribe's public safety department has only been around for 3 years.
Very good. And you started last year at the very time we're talking, pretty much, Restoration Celebration. 1 year under your belt, how's it gone?
It's been really well. I mean, obviously, there's been some downfalls and some, but there's also been a lot of accomplishments for the tribe. And it's honestly a really just exciting department to work for because there's a lot of good things going for the tribe.
And with personnel, you need a building.
Yeah. That's something that's been in the works for about 3 years. Unfortunately, I'm not if people are familiar with the process, but the building, we do have a grant funding to build a building. But with that federal funds, there's steps that have to happen before we can start the actual building process. And one of the things was an environmental survey. And that just recently we got the FONSI, which stands for the finding of no significant impact. With that finding, they have released the federal funds so that we can start working on our building. We are in the final steps of getting a cultural monitor so that we can start breaking ground. I'm hoping within the next few weeks we'll be clearing that site and doing site preparation for the building.
Where is the site?
The site is going to be next to the Child Development Center in that area. There's an open lot there that we were given to place our building.
In front of the medical center?
Next to the medical center.
Next to it. That's a good location.
Yep.
Centrally located.
It's going to be centrally located. I know that one of the concerns was the access to that. They're going to be building its own road to access the building so that it just doesn't have to go through the Tribal Health and Child Development Center. But, you know, it's in the works. We're projecting, hopefully, to have the building up by the end of next spring.
All right. That's a pretty good timeline.
Yep.
Get you out of your cramped quarters in the admin building.
Yep. Well, it'll give us a little bit of opportunity because, you know, at least in my experience in tribal law enforcement, there's always, you know, there's the possibility that somebody might not have access to a phone. So it'll be, you know, for us to have a location where people can go knock on the door and ask for help and know where we're located is going to be, you know, really beneficial to the public. So I'm excited about that.
So we're also looking for some more officers, personnel. It's a building department that's, when I say building, we're developing officers. We lost a couple, but now we're trying to get back on a full staff, which would include who and what?
So currently we have the funding for another tribal police officer position. So that's pay step 34 to 44, which means it starts out at $36 an hour. And what I'd like to, you know, really iterate to people is what we'd really like to see to have in these positions is tribal members. This is technically an entry-level position. So, I mean, really the minimum requirements to, you know, become a, well, we will train you to be a police officer. So we'll take the time just to put you through the police academy and get all of that. So I'd like to just take the time to read the minimum qualifications. You have to possess a high school diploma or equivalent, like a GED. We want to have some experience with working with computers. So you need to know how to use Microsoft Word, Excel, so those types of things. You need to possess a valid Oregon driver's license. And then this is a requirement that once you're hired, you have to be able to complete the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training Basic Academy.
Is that the one that took place in New Mexico?
So that one's a little bit different. DPSST is, so Department of Public Safety Standards and Training stands for DPSST. That's the state academy. So this academy would take place in Salem.
What about the one you went to in New Mexico?
So that one is called the FLETC Academy, Federal Law Enforcement Training Center Academy. It's similar, but in order, so currently, I mean, and this may change, but currently, in order to take the abbreviated state version to be fully state certified and recognized, you have to have been a lateral transfer from out of state, so you have some type of formal training and experience, or you have, or you were somebody who was already certified in the state and your certification's expired, then you would qualify to take the abbreviated, like, 2-month PCOD course, Police Career and Officer Development course. It's what it stands for. But it's basically a short version of the academy that you can do from home to get state certified. Currently, if you get the FLETC Academy, you would still have to go through a full basic academy. So that's another 6 months on top of the 4 months for the academy. But it is, the FLETC Academy is a really great academy. So we have reached out to DPSST and request that they do a review of the program and see if it would be reciprocal, because I think that they're equivalent trainings personally, but that's a policy change, and we haven't had a response back yet for that. But hopefully we will.
And other positions?
Yeah, so I didn't get through the entire thing. So the job, the minimum requirements. So the other thing is you need to either possess or get an CPR certification within 90 days of hire. You need to be available to work rotating shifts, days, swings, graves. You have to be 21 years of age to be a police officer.
So you can go to the military at 18, but to be a police officer, you have to be 21.
Yeah, so that's just very specific, because in order to have a, you know, in order to carry a handgun, the laws require that you be 21 to possess and own a handgun. You have to meet firearms and medical/mental health stipulations, as noted in the firearms physical and mental health requirements. You have to submit to qualify with a service handgun under the training and supervision of a firearms instructor. You have to be able to demonstrate and pass the minimum requirements for the physical efficiency battery test. You need to be able to read maps, demonstrate knowledge of reservation and off-reservation training and hunting, treaty hunting and fishing areas, and the ability to learn areas within a short period of time. You have to adhere to the tribe's alcohol and drug-free workplace policy, and you have to be able to pass a background check.
So you want to hire a tribal member if possible, but if that's not happening, you will look outside?
So obviously, once the idea is to fill these positions, these vacant positions, but it would be preferred if we could get tribal member applicants, right? The idea is to have... You know, the idea is to get all these positions filled with tribal members and build a robust program. And hopefully, eventually, you know, the entire department will be tribal members.
Yeah.
That's the end goal.
Might be a little challenging. Those are a lot of qualifications and certifications and requirements and this and that. But we have, what, 4,500, 50? So tribal members, maybe out of that percentage, you know, 5%, 10% could be qualified for this.
I honestly, I really think that, you know, You know, the usually the majority of the time, the big disqualifiers is the clean criminal record, right? But I mean, outside of that, I mean, you have to. The way I look at law enforcement is more like a trade, right? Because you have to go through this formal training once you get into it. So I think the majority of people could meet the minimum requirements.
Yeah. What's that jingling noise? Is that your phone?
It is.
But you probably have to leave it on, right? No.
I'm required to answer yeah. it 24/7, depending yeah. on the circumstances.
So we'll just work through that.
Yeah, I apologize.
No worries. So what else do we have for personnel you're looking for? So that was a regular police officer position.
Yep. And that starts out at step 34. So it's 36, 34 to up to 48, 83, right? So we have two open positions for the tribal fishing game. And the requirements are very similar. I don't think that there's much of a difference.
Except that your work will be out in the forests and mountains.
Yep. So I think that the main difference is the duties and requirements there is going to be the main difference between the two jobs.
Same starting salary?
No. So this one starts out at step 18. So it's a little bit lower than the tribal police officer. I'm not sure why. I mean, it seems like they do similar duties, but it just kind of worked out that way. So, but yeah, and this is definitely another area where we would really like to see tribal members apply for this. Like I said, it's an entry-level position, so there's not really any reason why a tribal member wouldn't be able to apply for these positions unless they can't pass a background.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we really would like to see tribal members apply for these positions. It only makes sense that tribal members would be the ones to be, you know, enforcing hunting and fishing treaty rights. Right, they're going to understand it the best and understand the cultural significance behind it. So,
male or female, doesn't matter. Women or men can apply.
Absolutely. No. Yeah, absolutely. I know that sometimes it seems like that it's a pretty male-dominated workforce, you know, but some of the best officers I've ever worked with were females, you know, and so, no, we encourage, you know, males, female, anybody definitely to apply for that. Yeah, absolutely. Some of the best officers are females.
What about your own background? You have quite the background. How about we fill the people in on who our lead officer is and interim chief at this point, Jeff Moore?
Yep. So I'm a Yurok tribal member, right? I was born and raised in Modoc, California. I'm not sure if people are familiar with that, but that's actually right across the border here, about an hour and a half, 2 hours away. So I grew up in the area. I went to college at College of the Redwoods and got my associate's degree in administration of justice. From there, I went into the basic post academy, so it's peace officer standardized training in California. So I got certified in California to be a police officer. I actually was sponsored by the Yurok tribe at the time. They were offering stipends, and so any tribal member that was interested in going to the academy, they said, "Hey, we'll pay for it." That didn't have a formal like work obligation or anything. It was an education grant that they had. But I did, since they had paid for it, I wanted to work for my tribe. And so I worked for the Yurok tribe before transferring and working for the Hoopa Valley tribe. So I worked for the Hoopa Valley tribe for a time. And then I ended up getting a job with the Bear River tribe, which I'm not sure if a lot of people are familiar with that. It's just really small rancheria. At the time, they didn't have a police department, so I was one of their first officers there. And we got to develop a robust police department. One of the draws that brought me to the Klamath tribes is I grew up in this area, so I really have a strong connection out here, and I wanted to live somewhere closer to home where I have a lot of family that is in, like, Modoc County. So I was looking for jobs here, and I happened to find a job opening and applied and was lucky enough to get to work here. And it's really an amazing area to work in, and I'm really happy for the opportunity to be here.
What are the most challenging parts of your position?
It's definitely finding a balance between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, right? Because there's the seeing how the law was written, and then what was the intention behind the law, right? And it So balancing that and making sure that, you know, that you maintain the community's trust and having transparency, you want to make sure that you're able to do those things. Law enforcement is, people, you know, by having rapport and respect with people, it's basically having the community's permission to be here is what we do, you know, because we enforce the people's will. So understanding that and trying to take that, you know, personal out of it and being non-biased, you know, to make sure that you're really, truly, going with what the tribes wants and their intentions and, you know, projecting that in our community. It's really important to do. And, it's our number one goal.
So when somebody's listening and they think they might want to apply for a position, what do you say to them as if they're listening? What would your aspirations and goals be for these new people coming in, and what can they expect in the position?
Yeah, so I would say that one of the big things is we want people that are motivated to learn. We also want people that have a strong connection to the community and the tribe's culture, because it's really important that these when you are a tribal police officer, you are a part of the community. So you need to have a strong connection to the community, you know, and be willing to sacrifice time. You know, being a law enforcement officer, you know, when the call for service comes, it could happen any time of day, right? So be ready and willing to, you know, make those sacrifices for the betterment of the community.
Does that mean living in Chiloquin would be very important?
It would be preferred, right? Obviously, that's a common misperception, is just that we just service the Beatty area. Obviously, we have tribal membership and trust lands all over the county, right? So I wouldn't say that necessarily living in Chiloquin would be a requirement. I mean, Beatty would honestly even be better, because we have a lot of tribal membership in Beatty, and it would be nice to have somebody there, but if somebody has to travel from Klamath Falls, that wouldn't be a disqualifier.
And to date, what would you like to talk about in the accomplishments that have occurred in this past year?
Yeah, so I think one of the big ones that people have been really looking forward to was definitely the building, that the building's finally starting to move forward, which is really exciting. Outside of that, there's a few other things that, you know, we've had a lot of success on. One of the biggest successes, I think, of this year was we recently got access to LEDS. If you're not familiar with what LEDS stands for, it's the Law Enforcement Data Systems. And so that gives us the ability to run people's criminal history, check them for wants, warrants, things like that. It gives us officer safety information if we got to deal with an individual. But I think one of the bigger wins of having access to LEDS is that we now have the ability to enter restraining orders into that system. So if the tribal courts were to issue a restraining order or something like that, we would have the ability to enter that in the system, and it would be recognized anywhere in the state or the United States, right, once it gets entered into that system. So that's a really exciting accomplishment. A few other things that we do have the ability, hopefully soon, to enter an agreement with the city of Chiloquin. Obviously, that's going to be up to tribal council and membership if they want to go forward with something like that. But it has been offered to make a contract with them so that they would pay us for our police services in the Chiloquin area.
Because currently, Chiloquin doesn't have a police force.
No. It would fall under the sheriff's department's jurisdiction, so they would be the primary responders. And historically, if a deputy has to respond from Klamath Falls, it takes anywhere from, 25 to 30 minutes for response. And that's one of the, I think one of the biggest goals for our law enforcement program is to reduce those response times so that when somebody calls, for help, instead of it being a 25, 30 minute wait, it reduced now to like 5 minutes, right? So that you know that somebody's coming when you call for help.
Is it unusual to have a town of this size without a police force, or is it common in rural Oregon?
I wouldn't know the answer to that.
Yeah. I was just wondering, you know, I lived in Massachusetts, every town had a police. It was like unheard of not to have a police force.
Yeah, I would say that Oregon is very unique in the way that it handles law enforcement. Historically speaking, it's you know, poor state, right? But outside of that, it also has, I think the development was kind of a growing phase, but now it's kind of moving out of that, is the they have a centralized academy, right? So everybody goes to the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, the DPSST Academy, which is in Salem. So they have a centralized place as opposed to other states. A lot of times the junior colleges have their own police academies that you can attend, so it's not centralized, right? So there's more academies, so you have the ability to train more officers, so you're going to have more officers, right? Mm-hmm. Where here it's centralized, so they were having issues with getting everybody trained up to be certified.
Yeah. That's not to say I haven't lived in a community that didn't have a police station, so to speak. Girdwood, Alaska, where I spent many years publishing a newspaper, it's not a town, but it's like 25 miles from Anchorage, though it's a part of the municipality. Didn't have a police station, a 2,500 population. So the state police had a presence there. They had a satellite office, and that was who served the community. So the state police do respond to situations here, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, there's definitely is a shortage of law enforcement personnel in Klamath County. So they do have to rely on, you know, state, OSP, the sheriff's department, and then hopefully the tribal law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Challenging.
Yeah. It's really interesting because, and it is definitely challenging, especially when you start adding the aspect of like tribal, you know, lands and reservations and things like that, because, you know, depending on where you're at, in Chiloquin, you may be in three jurisdictions, right? So you're going to have the state, the federal jurisdiction, and then the tribal jurisdiction. So navigating that's really difficult. And there's been books written on public law 280 and, federal jurisdiction and things like that. And they're really big books, you know, so it's definitely difficult for people to understand. Have started discussion about having a course in DPSST for all the officers to go over PL 280 so that they have a better understanding of it.
And to give people a perspective of the area you're talking about, in size, what are we talking about for tribal territory where you might have to drive out someplace?
So that's kind of, you know, that's definitely, it depends on what, you know, how you want to boil that down, because, you know, just the tribal jurisdiction, it, you know, we have the treaty rights. It might not be formal. It's formal reservation land, but it's not trust land, right? So it's owned, you know, like the marsh, for example, is federal land, but the tribe has hunting and fishing rights on it. You know, so that's an area that our fish and game would want to be out. You know, they have enforcement authority out there. The tribe wouldn't necessarily have criminal jurisdiction, right? So, but we definitely have jurisdiction over hunting and fishing. So it gets really weird. And how do we get the most effective police force to address some of those issues? And that's something that, we've been working on, and hopefully we come up with a good solution to that.
Another goal.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, before I let you go, if somebody does want to apply for one of these positions, they go to our website, correct?
Yep, I'd say the best way to do it is fill out a Klamath Tribe's job application. Take the time to download the job description and read through it and see if that's something that, you know, it sounds interesting to you. Definitely please take the time to apply.
It's at the Klamath Tribes website, klamathtribes.org. And all the jobs are there, not only police, but every job opening. The application's there and the full job description, salary, skills. So that's where you need to go if you want this position.
Another thing that I would really greatly encourage people is I'm definitely an open book. So if people in the community, I'm probably sure there's tribal members that I haven't had the opportunity to meet. We're currently working in the admin building. So if you have questions or would like to sit down with me or whatever, my door is always open to membership. Anybody that's interested in applying, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd be happy to help you navigate the process if you need or answer any additional questions that you might have.
Very good. James Moore, Public Safety Officer, Interim Chief right now for the Klamath Tribes. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And we will talk again on the Klamath Tribes podcast.